بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. For most people, there is a certain level of consistency and stability in our lives. Things are humming along, there might be a few bumps along the way, but generally there is a lifestyle which we have become accustomed to, there are routines that we are used to. But when things slow down all of a sudden, when there's a sudden jolt, a sudden breaking that happens, then what happens? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can throw us a curveball at any time. Right? It could come in the loss of a tragedy, in the form of a tragedy, it could come in the form of loss of work, it could be a sickness, it could be a natural disaster, and we are seeing a lot of uncertainty around us. So when you look at the global economy, we see things are not very stable, especially when we look at Europe, and when we watch the news and we see what's happening in Greece, and right next to us in the U.S. as well. We look at natural disasters, for example, Superstorm or Hurricane Sandy, which struck a lot closer to home for many people than what we are accustomed to. Earthquakes, for example, so off the West Coast, and a lot of people may not know, but Eastern Ontario, Western Quebec, this region is also on a fault line, right? So Montreal is also at a risk of a major earthquake, which could happen at some time. So these are things that, you know, can come, and they can come unexpectedly and can really shake up our routine and the lifestyle that we have become accustomed to. So for example, when we're traveling on the highway, and if you're someone who's used to driving at, for example, 120 kilometers an hour, or if you're really risky, maybe 130 plus, don't do that though, because you'll likely get a ticket, but 120 or less, and all of a sudden, if we have to hit the brakes and our journey comes to a crawl all of a sudden, we really notice that change. We really notice it because we've become accustomed to that. Right? So once I was helping someone move, and he had a U-Haul truck, and I told him, I said, you know, if you drive at 120, you're going to be using up approximately 20% more fuel than you would be at 100. So he said, okay, I'm going to try to drive at 100 because gas was getting expensive. But he came back to me and said, you know what? I just couldn't do it because I got used to it. I'm so accustomed to driving at 120 kilometers an hour. I just can't drive at 100. It seems like I'm in a traffic jam or something. I just can't do it. Right? So when all of a sudden there's sudden braking, when we slow down all of a sudden, it's very, very noticeable. So our lives are sort of like that. And our lives have become extremely complex. Right? They've become very complicated, very complex. Partially because of this toxic mix of commercialism, so we being told we need things, items that we should be purchasing that are going to make us feel better, that are going to make our lives better. And of course, the other part of the mix is our quest to continue to satisfy our desires. Right? So there are things that we want, that we like to have, that we desire, and then we are constantly told that these are things that we should buy and we need, and we can use them this way and that way, and we just sort of fall for that. And what it does is what it has done is that it has left us wanting more and more and more. And the concept that's sold to us, that's ingrained in many of our minds, is that, you know, more is better or bigger is better. So that's what we're constantly tuned towards. And continuously we end up making our lives more and more complicated. So whether it's something as simple as the food that we eat, that we have become accustomed to eating, or whether it's our clothing, or the way we live, our lifestyle, our customs, our practices that we have adopted, for example, when it comes to marriage, where we continue to make things more and more complicated for ourselves. So when our lives become so complicated and so complex, then even a little disturbance makes it seem like we are back in the Stone Age. Right? So if the internet goes down for a few hours, oh my goodness, what am I going to do without the internet? Right? Or cell phone service goes out, and then we're stuck and we don't know what to do. So any little disturbance right? Or of course it appears to be a major disturbance, but in reality it may be very insignificant, but it becomes something that is felt very much by us. And adjusting to that new reality, adjusting to it can be very, very difficult. So today we see that we don't have enough space, for example, for all the stuff that we own. And they're opening, you know, more and more of those self-storage places, right? Because we're running out of space. Our basements are full, our garages are full, our attics are full. There's so many things that we have. We look at what it takes for us to be content. What does it take for me and my children to be content? And we notice that the bar is rising higher and higher and higher and higher, right? What makes us happy? And it's becoming more and more challenging, right, to do that. So back in the days, if you could give a child a watch and he or she would be happy, well, it's not going to cut it anymore, right? So we were thinking of getting prizes now for contests or getting gifts for children. It's always a challenge. And where are you going to get them? Everyone has an iPod now. What are you going to do? Right, get an iPhone. An iPhone. So what are you? So the bar keeps rising higher and higher and higher. And what I'm most worried about are really our children. Because most of our children, alhamdulillah, through the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have not really experienced hardship, have not really experienced hard times. And this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I'm not complaining about that. We're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But what has happened as a consequence is that the tolerance level has become very low. So tolerance for hardships, tolerance for difficulties has become very, very low. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they're going to face in the future. But many times I think about my children and I say, I think that I don't know what they're going to face in the future. I may be gone, but they may still be around and I don't know what's going to happen in the world and what are the types of challenges they may be facing. So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about that. But let us reflect on our lives. Let us reflect on our lives by contrasting our lifestyle. So the types of lives we generally live with that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, right? Just so that we can reflect, right? I'm not saying that the way we're living is absolutely wrong. I'm not saying it's haram. I'm not against technology. I'm using an iPad. I'm not against advancement. But what I'm saying is, let's take a pause, take a step back, and reflect and question ourselves, and reflect on all the choices that we're making. And if what these choices are really doing to us, and if they're really conducive to our true purpose of being here. We often worry about our clothes. We often worry about our clothes, we want to look good, we want to dress well. But the Prophet ﷺ had a minimal number of clothes in his wardrobe. And many of them had patches on. That's how the Prophet ﷺ would dress. And even though he was ruling over such a large portion of Arabia, or all of Arabia, he still maintained the same wardrobe from the moment of revelation to his death. Right? So if there was no need to replace clothes, the Prophet ﷺ would not replace clothes. Right? Because the clothes were there for a purpose. Right? And if they were fine, they could be used, then continue to use them. His food. Right? So we are big about food. Alhamdulillah, we have an abundance of food for the most part. But the food of the Prophet ﷺ was incredibly simple. Incredibly simple, just ungrounded wheat or barley bread. That is what he would eat. And some people came to ask about the food of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after his passing. And so they were told that they would not be able to digest it. The food of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was such that the people after him, just the next, you know, shortly after his passing, were told that they would not be able to digest it. And of course, contrast that to our expectations. So when I, you know, come home from work and I want dinner to be ready, and you know, the food must be this particular temperature, and it must be, you know, have this much salt, and it must have this and this and that and that. Again, I'm not saying that's wrong, but let's contrast and reflect upon that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was working hard. I know how it feels. If I would work an hour or two of overtime, or a few hours, I would come home late. I would be like, you know what? Forget my diet. Forget everything else. I need to eat. And I need to reward myself because I work really hard. Right? I need a good meal. Right? So that's the expectation we have. The Prophet ﷺ was working very hard. The Prophet ﷺ was carrying the burden of the message, on the load of the message on his shoulders. Yet, when there was no food, he would simply say, I'm fasting. If there was no food, he would fast. And his wives tell us, narrate and report how there were no 2 days, consecutive days in which the fire would be lit for food, for cooking of food in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, and they would go on for days sometimes, just on water and dates and ungrounded wheat, barley bread. His health was simple. His house was simple, small rooms, and it was small and stuff. And he could have had, right, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have had a castle built, but he kept it simple. Interesting story about Umar radiallahu anhu, that when he became the Khalifa and he became Amir al-Mu'mineen, an allowance was set for him and his family that would be sufficient for their needs. And after some time, there were some companions, some of the people who felt that this allowance was actually not enough for him and for his needs. So among them were Ali and Uthman and Talha and Zubayr radiallahu anhum. And they had this opinion that the allowance of Umar radiallahu anhu should be increased. But no one dared bring that up to Umar radiallahu anhu. So they said, okay, well, what should we do about this? We think he deserves more, we think he should get something more. So what should we do? So they went to Hafsa radiallahu anha, the daughter of Umar radiallahu anhu, and said, okay, why don't you go and speak to your father and sort of test the waters, you know, float a trial balloon, see how it goes, and then maybe we could bring it up after. So she went to Umar radiallahu anhu and mentioned this to him. So the first thing he says is, who are these people who are making the suggestion? And he wants to know, who are these people? And she says, well, you know, let me know your opinion first. Right? What do you think about this? And so he says, Umar radiallahu anhu, if I knew them, I would smite them on their faces, Hafsa. Just tell me, what was the Prophet's best dress in your house? What was the best dress of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your house? So she replied, Hafsa radiallahu anha, she said it was a pair of reddish-brown clothes which the Prophet wore on Friday or while receiving some envoy. That was the best of the clothes that he had. So then he asked, what was the best food? What was the best of the food that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever took at your house? The best food that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever took at your house. She replied, simple barley bread was the only food he used to take. Simple barley bread was the only food we used to take. One day I anointed a piece of bread with the sediments from an empty butter tin, and he ate it with relish and offered it to others as well. And that was the best food of the Prophet ﷺ. Umar radiallahu anhu asked, what was the best bedding of the Prophet that the Prophet ever used in your house? She replied, it was a piece of thick cloth. It was a piece of thick cloth. In the summer, it was spread in 4 layers, and in the winter, in 2. Half he spread underneath, with the other half he covered himself. This was the best bedding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Hafsa, go and tell these people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has set a standard by his personal example, and I must follow him. My example and that of my other two companions, being the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is like that of 3 men traveling on the same road. The first man started with a provision and he reached the goal. The second followed the first and joined him. Now the third is on his way, and if he follows their way, he will also join them, otherwise he can never reach them. So Umar radiallahu anhu was adamant about maintaining the lifestyle that was the one he was trying to emulate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once he came late for his Jum'ah prayer, he told the Jum'ah that, excuse me people, I got late because I was washing my clothes and had no other clothes to put on. Once he was having his meal, when Utbah ibn Abi Farhat radiallahu anhu asked permission to see him, so he allowed him to come in, he invited him to share his food with him. And Uqba radiallahu anhu, he started eating, but the bread was so coarse that he could not swallow it. The bread was so coarse that he was not able to swallow. So he said, why don't you use fine flour for your bread? Why don't you use fine flour for your bread, Umar? So Umar radiallahu anhu asked, can every Muslim afford fine flour for his bread? So His question was, Amir al-Mu'mineen, can every Muslim afford this, that which you're telling me to eat? So he remarked, no, everybody cannot afford it. Umar radiallahu anhu said, alas, you wish to fulfill all my pleasures while I'm in this world. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu anhu, and the companions, right, many of the companions, they made this choice. This was a choice. This was not because out of compulsion or necessity. Right? But it was their choice to live with simplicity. And this was because they understood, this is the key part, because they understood that living in this world is just a matter of survival. They understood that living in this world is just a matter of survival. It is not a matter of enjoyment. So when they were living their lives, they were living and making the provisions that were necessary for survival. That was just the focus. Because there were a lot more important things to do. The focus was not on enjoyment. So again, I'm not suggesting that enjoying luxuries is haram or that living comfortably is haram. No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you want to attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to move forward spiritually, then the love for comfort, the love for luxuries is something that needs to be sacrificed. Because anyone who has gone on this path and who has attained true closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so through sacrifices. And this is one of the main things that the people have sacrificed, and that is the love for luxuries, the love for comfort, the love for the things of the dunya. And keep in mind, Steve, also that when we're talking about living simply, it does not mean, you know, living in a dirty way or untidy way. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. Living simply does not equal living dirty or living untidy. Simple is beautiful, right? You could be simple, but you could still be clean, and you could still be tidy. I'm going to end with the very deep words of advice to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which should truly be a source of, you know, reflection for us. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun wa 'abiru sabil." Right? Be in this world. Live in this world as a stranger or as a traveler. Right? And if you just think about that and you reflect upon that, there's so many gems that we can take from this one hadith. Because a stranger is someone who stands out. A stranger is someone who stands out, who is different than everyone else. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, be different than the people who are living for this world. Live as if you are different than everyone else who is running after the luxuries of the world and the matters of the world and enjoyment. Be different, stand out, be a stranger. And a stranger remembers where he or she came from. Right? A stranger knows where he or she has come from and longs to go back. So be a stranger and understand your true worth, where you have truly come from and where you are heading. And be a traveler. Right? So a traveler, of course, is on a journey and continues traveling and journeying, and stays are temporary. Right? So when you have a stopover during a flight, you know it's temporary. When you're out on a business trip, you know it's temporary. Right? You're not going to stay there and buy a house and set up shop as if you're going to live there. Right? You continue traveling. And the traveler tries to take as little as possible in terms of luggage. Right? That's the advice that's always given, right? Pack light, travel light, so you don't have to pay extra charges at the airport, so you don't have too much luggage to lug around. Right? So the traveler takes as little as possible and knows that these stops are not permanent. They're temporary stops here and there. And then behaves accordingly as well. So we don't stop somewhere and start buying cars and buying a house, right? And getting a driver's license. We don't do that because we know that we're traveling, we're passing through. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that live in this world as a traveler. The life is not permanent, so don't behave like we're going to be here forever. So the question is, and it would be wise for us to reflect upon this, is that would we be able to survive? Would we be able to survive on even half of what we are used to today? So think about your lifestyle. Think about your income. Think about the things you're used to. And would you be able to live on half of that? Could we get by on half of the type of lifestyle that we're used to? How well are our children prepared How well have we prepared our children for difficulties? If there are times of difficulty that we have to face in our lives, or they have to face after we are gone, how well prepared are we? And I encourage each of us, including myself, to examine all aspects of our lives. And it's a good idea to start from our home, because I don't want you to go home and say, well, the Imam was talking about this, so I'm going to start thinking what the children are eating and what, you know, the spouse is doing, and then I'm going to start cutting down and everything. That's not what I'm saying. Let's start from ourselves. Right? So I start from myself. And I look at my practices and my preferences and my choices. Right? What are the things I eat? How do I like to have them served to me? And you know, what am I spending on? What am I getting? What do I like to drink? What do I like to wear? What's my forms of entertainment? Right? How do I entertain myself? And look at all of these things and look at how we live. And all of that, is it taking us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it taking us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it entangling us in the complexity of the world and allowing us to go further and further and further in this trap of enjoyment and fulfilling our desires? And finally, how can we live? How can I live more like a traveler? How can I live more like a traveler and less like those who are only in this world for enjoyment? Some things to think about. So I need to think about it for myself. Everything that I'm doing in my life, everything that I've done today, all the things I'm used to, how can I become more of a traveler? The things that I'm doing, are they suggesting that I'm here for the long haul and I'm enjoying myself and I'm just going ahead in that? Or are there things that I can change in my life, things that I can make more simple? Starting from the food that I like to eat, the things that I'm adamant about, that I really want, or I think that this is how this should be done. Let me question all of that and say, is this really what is required? Is this really what takes me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me, help all of us, in truly following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in emptying and cleaning our hearts of all the love for the desires and the things of the world, and really giving us the ability to move forward on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.